Kaplan. Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
With Hoodie, I'm Cap. Pour yourself a cup of coffee. Find a way to start your day. Crank it up. And then the weekend is here. 312-332-3776. Jesse Rogers texted me yesterday after Hayward grounded out the second. He said, Jason Hayward, 4-3. Baseball is back. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, can I start with a cheap shot? We're all looking for that return to normalcy. 13 strikeouts and 2 hits by the Cubs. That feels very normal. That feels very normal from that team. You mentioned it. I mean, I was at that Marlins playoff series, and it felt very much like that. The Jay Hood, you asked that question about these hitters. The thing I hear from opposing pitchers over these last few years is the Cubs hitters can all be gotten out the same way. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see this sort of all or nothing offense from them. Some days that pitcher can't get them out and they all get hits. And then the other days, these pitchers, 6 relievers yesterday. I mean, there were 13 relievers in this game yesterday. It was crazy. But they all sort of can get it, be gotten out the same way, especially those right-handed hitters. So it felt normal seeing this Cubs offense stall. I hate to start with a cheap shot, but it's the truth.
Well, it's the truth. You were out there for 4 hours of nothing. So I can understand why you'd feel that way. It felt like that watching it at home. So every time we see these big deals, like the Lindor deal and others across Major League Baseball, always acquitted to the Cubs, saying that are the Cubs in a position to give a full boat deal to someone? And so the name I always come up with is Baez. Do you believe that Baez this year will be able to earn such a deal?
No, I don't. Nothing close to Lindor. He'll still make some money one way or another. But I've reported this. I really think that Baez right now, has to show Ricketts and Jed something on the field. I'm talking in April even, to engage, big time negotiations. Remember, nothing has been reported about them talking or numbers because it hasn't happened yet. He could be losing or making millions with every at bat. It's that dramatic. They're not going to engage until a little bit of this season goes by, partly because we haven't really seen the real Baez in several years. He was hurt at the end of 19, didn't have the same season he had in 18 when he was second in MVP voting, had a terrible 2020. The way I've described it on the air is they're in show-me mode with Baez. He has to show them a little bit. And 3 strikeouts yesterday, didn't have the best spring. It's a lot on his back. But look, this is the big time, right? And Jed Hoyer mentioned this 2 days ago. This is the major leagues. This is Chicago. You've got to perform with and without pressure. In this case, there's a ton of pressure on Javi to perform right now. The good news is he's not one of these guys that has traditionally bad Aprils. But who knows, with this monkey on his back, this contract, hanging over him, we don't know what he's going to do. Yesterday was not a good day for him.
No, it was not. And I was telling Hoodie this. If I'm sitting in that front office, first of all, they've run this same crew out year after year after year after year, and we see the same thing all the time. Our offense broke. All right, get Daniel Descalso in here. Our offense broke. I mean, at some point, if I'm Tom Ricketts, I'm literally, and we're trying to get him on the show, I'm literally going to go, Jed, I don't want to, Rizzo has been consistent. He's not going to cost you $200 million. But if you want me to pay Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras, there's another year of control. Jed, as you just said, you got to prove to me that's a wise investment. Why all of a sudden is that going to change?
And that's why I still wonder why they couldn't get a deal done with Rizzo, because it's like you said, he's very consistent. I disagree with that caller. He does things different than some of these other guys. We know the 2-strike approach, had a nice great at bat, drove in that run, or doubled and got a runner to third, then drove in another run. I think Rizzo's kind of money in the bank in terms of what he's going to bring you. And like you said, the deal isn't going to be 10 years. $300 million. He's 31. We know what the deal should be. It should be 4 to 5 years for the going rate, which is 80 to 90 to $100 million right in there, maybe even a little bit more depending on, on what they think the open market's going to be, because there's all these factors that play into a contract. But I agree with you. I mean, Baez is not showing them much, right? I mean, it's one game. But in general, over the last year or so, Bryant hasn't been the same kind of guy. It's just one game today, so let's not overreact to that. But in general, those guys are not going to get the Fernando Tatis Lindor deals right now. And Rizzo's not, because of his age and situation. So they're in different categories than they were in 16 and 17 when they were flying high.
We haven't talked since Bodey was plugged in as a second baseman over Nico Horner. Do you believe that Bodey will get the lion's share, or will see more of Horner this season?
No, it's going to be Bodey. I mean, it's definitely going to be Bodey. I mean, they got Horner's not going to be up for a while. I mean, there's no AAA season until May. Doesn't start till May, so you figure they're going to wait till then to get him some at bats. I don't know. He might be up here in June or later. There's certainly. I mean, I joked with someone in the press box last night. Yesterday, after the law, does Jed start selling soon? Because yeah. I've said that they're going to sell. They're going to sell, and games like this don't help. But it's early. So my point is, as soon as they start selling, we know Nico Horner will be up here. This is going to be the thing that I harp on. I mean, I have no problem with Bodie getting a chance, but I'm sorry. He's one of your 26 best players. We talked about this earlier in the week. And I could, Nico Horner could have been used yesterday. That's a guy in cold weather. No one's hitting. He's a little bit of a different type of hitter. Nico Horner is going to be missed one way or another. David Bodie didn't charge a ball at second. Guy was safe at first. That created some damage on the base pass. That's a play I bet Nico Horner makes. You're absolutely going to miss his glove. He was a Gold Glove finalist last year. So I don't like the fact that he's going to be down there for a couple months, but they're not winning anything this year. So, do whatever you want to figure out what Bodie is. And obviously, Horner will get some more minor league at bats. That never hurts anyone.
Jesse, the most concerning thing for me from yesterday's game. Okay, here's the bad things. Bad start from Hendricks, 13 walks from the staff, but three were Kyle's, 10 from the bullpen, and two hits, one GD hit going into the eighth inning against a team that's literally fielding a AAA club. The most concerning thing for me was the fact that Pirate Club walked one Cub. We hear how much we grind. One walk out of their bullpen. And that offense did nothing. That was the most concerning thing. What was the number one most concerning thing for you yesterday?
Oh, it's definitely the offense. We know, Hendricks has walked three batters 2 years ago yesterday to the day, and then three batters today, and that's about it. Like, this is unusual for him. We know he's going to be back to being the old Kyle Hendricks. I don't think the Cubs bullpen is going to have a propensity to walk a lot of people. They walked eight out of the bullpen. I don't think that's going to happen often. But what we saw on offense is a trend we've seen for years. And there are times where they don't even walk a lot. Go back 2 or 3 years, they were leading the league in walks, but that has started to slow up a little bit. So, yes, everything on offense yesterday was the biggest issue. And again, it's one game, but we know this is a 3 or 4 year trend. And this is not the, best pitching staff by far. I mean, Chad Kuhl, the Pirate media people in the press box were making fun of Chad Kuhl. I mean, he was handed a lead, and he kept walking, walking guys to lead off. He was struggling, and the Cubs still couldn't take advantage because he walked three guys, and I think he walked the first, the guy in the leadoff man, and then in the second inning as well. So, yes, everything I saw on offense was the concern if you're a Cub fan. The other things that happened, Hendricks, the bullpen walks, I think it was a little flukish.
The White Sox yesterday losing to the Angels 4-3. Giolito was terrific, Jesse. He was able to shut down Carew, Downing, Salmon, Wally Joyner. I think he did a great job yesterday against the Angels hitters. But the thing is, though, is that as I look at this game, there was an opportunity there for the Sox to be able to get a hold of one offensively. They just let it loose in the end. How did you think of the ebb and flow of that game?
Yeah, well, watching that game reminded me of something Joe Maddon, who won the game last night, used to say. It is really hard to win a Major League Baseball game. I know that's sort of weird and obvious and cliche. It is really hard. I mean, think about that. They grinded through that game. A lot of good things happened. Lucas Giolito was great. I love Luis Robert stealing third with two outs. Stoney criticizing him, deservedly so, and then he scores on a wild pitch. They did a lot of good things. And then, of course, they let it slip away because of a little fielding miscue by Madrigal. So it's just a reminder there. It's a grind. 162, man, and that's one you hope you don't lose the division by one game. because they let that thing slip away. Their bullpen outpitched the Sox bullpen. Who would have thunk that when you think about the Angels? But that's what I thought about that game. It is just hard. They led most of the way, and they let it slip away. So
tough.
I don't think offensively they missed on too many opportunities. There wasn't that many out there, but, you know, they should have won the game.
See, this is where I have an issue with Major League Baseball trying to be basketball, trying to be soccer. Like, baseball without a clock will never be those sports.
Right.
And if you're a baseball fan, you're locked in as an American League fan for 3+ hours. For you as a National League fan, 245, 250, whatever, right? So the La Russa challenge yesterday, Madrigal tries to steal second. It's a bang-bang play, Jesse. I wasn't even sure whether or not he was safe or not. But the idea that you're cutting it from 30 seconds to 20 seconds for a team to decide whether or not to challenge or not, look, between the play and the next at-bat is longer than 30 seconds. So why did they cut it to 20? And so La Russa's looking around like, well, I want to make a challenge, but now my time's up.
Yeah, let me give you my thoughts on that. He did make a mistake, but it's probably not the one you guys are thinking about. I heard you talking about it earlier. Now, remember, I've covered this rule since it was implemented in 14, covering baseball. This is Tony La Russa's first ever video challenge. They didn't have this rule when he was last manager in 2011. So this is his first one. The mistake he made is he didn't listen to his player. It's the seventh inning of a tight game. Okay, you're running out of time from the video room. But Madrigal is pretty adamant that he was safe. I think La Russa said it in the postgame Zoom. I was on it last night. You got to listen to your player. It's the seventh inning. Remember, from the eighth inning on, the crew chief can institute a replay if it's obvious. So you might lose your challenge, but you still have a chance to have a challenge if it's a bang-bang play. He should have listened to his player. Now, that was his mistake. Now, not getting the right information quickly enough from the video room, I'll give them a pass one time. They've learned their lesson. They've got to streamline that system better. Maybe they got to get a new video guy who makes decisions quicker. Whatever it is, you're allowed one mistake there. There's no video replays in spring training. There's no chance to practice that necessarily. So there's that mistake. Hopefully it never happens again. But if his player is adamant and it's that late in the game, he's got to listen to him and he's got to pull the trigger. He didn't do that.
Yeah, last time he managed, he was just, instead of replays, he was just arguing with the umpire.
Yeah, right. He'd be out there yelling at the ump. Exactly, yeah. Right.
But, Jesse, as someone who coached, your players always think they're safe. Unless it's like there's no chance he was out by 40 feet. They always think, I remember talking to one of our players and go, you want to guard that guy? I got him. He's already scored 36 against you. What do you mean you got him? But they always believe, I'm safe. I can make that shot. You're 0-9. Why are you going to make that shot? I don't trust the player. I want to hear in my ear from a guy that's his job. He's back there in the video room. Challenge, challenge, challenge. 20 seconds? That's pretty quick, man.
Well, I've talked to people. I think maybe Joe, you know, when I was covering the Cubs. You should talk to your players, and when you ask them that question mid game, ahead of time, you've got to tell them you got to be sure with your answer. You have to be sure. Now maybe he asked Madrigal, and Madrigal said, "I think I was safe," and that you're right. Then you're right. But there's a system in place where if your player is adamant about it, you should be listening to him. That's from coming from players and managers over the years covering this rule. But we weren't in the dugout, so we don't know for sure how adamant Madrigal was. But I'd fall back on the fact that it's the seventh inning, Cap. You really have nothing to lose to pull the trigger. If you're unsure that late in the game, one-run game, now we don't know. Tim Anderson struck out after that, so we don't know if Madrigal is going to score, but obviously the sequence changes. So that's my feeling. That late in the game, if he's at all telling you he was safe, you should probably challenge. You really have nothing to lose. So it's a lesson learned.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day.
You too, guys. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week.
See you. There he is. That is Jesse Rogers.
Let me ask you a question, Tony. Why didn't you tell us to play?
Jerry, we didn't get word from the video room until our 20-second window had closed.
I'm sorry. I was watching the game. I think you were sleeping again.
I was not. I was alert. I saw it, but I had to make sure from the video room. We have protocols and how we follow it.
You got a lot of masks on. I think you're sleeping underneath the mask.
I was alert and ready to go. I know it was West Coast time, but I made sure my body clock was adjusted.
Okay. Let's not make that happen again, huh? I'm going to have a soup now. Good night.
Cut the eggs up on him.
That better not happen again.
Kyle.
I mean, the player said he was safe. Well, you take his word for it. He's a young player. He sees it better than you, though. You're 80.
76, Jerry.
Yeah, same. You're old as me. You saw it. You got old eyes. And it's West Coast. You're a little sleepy. Let me make you go.
Kyle Trask, Bears fans.
I don't understand.
Does that get you excited?
We lost the game.
We'll get him tonight.
Maybe,
that's next.
Maybe I made a mistake.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
With Hoodie, I'm Cap, Jeff Neller, Daniel N. Zetterman, and J.R. Strauss. We're here every weekday, 7 until 10, and we have White Sox baseball on the station tonight. I believe the first pitch is at 8:38. Is that what you told me, Jeffrey?
That is what it is listed as.
And 8 o'clock will be the pregame show with Connor McKnight.
You do realize you don't work 9 to 5, right?
Correct.
Okay. I don't know why you're walking around the hallway singing 9 to 5.
I got that song stuck in my head, and I cannot get it out of my head. I've told you a long time ago. We've been friends for how long?
20 years.
Or more.
Yep.
I got some weird stuff floating around up there, man. I'm just telling you. Thanks, Mallory. Now it's like right back at the top again. I didn't even know you were listening, and I'm walking in the hall. I'm going to singing that song. 9 to 5. And he's like, you know you don't work 9 to 5, right?
And you know you're not Dolly Parton, right?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, of all songs. Yeah, service and devotion, yeah. I don't understand.
I'm a big Dabney Coleman guy. What do you want me to tell you? Well,
yeah. I will say, such a good movie, though, 9 to 5.
I enjoyed it.
Yes, it was fine for its time. But the idea that you're just walking around, I mean, 9 to 5, that doesn't work.
There are times that I am... most times I'm unaware. Hi, Dolly. I am unaware that I'm singing something going down the hall.
Ooh.
And then occasionally I don't realize that Danny is either in the bathroom or he's in the kitchen area or he's around the bend and he hears it.
That's just odd, though. You're in the bathroom. Oh, I gotta take a leak. 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. 9 to 5. The way to make a living. who does that, Cal?
Me.
I mean, think about Dolly Parton on your own time. Look, the idea, we have a show to do. We're trying to put up some ratings, and you're talking about Dolly Parton.
I think that movie is 40 years old, too.
Yeah, just what are you doing?
I don't know. What year is that movie from?
I swear it's like in the early 80s.
9 to 5?
Yeah. And it is. We work 7 to 10. Working 7 to 10.
Yeah, but I also have to do TV. That movie was a 1980 American comedy film.
I wasn't born yet.
There you go.
80.
I was a sophomore in college.
I was 8. So it's just amazing. Just, well, how does that even go through your head?
Is that
part of your deal when you're working out? Is that part of the... It's like, all right, David, I know you can go. 30 minutes, here we go. 9 2 5. 9 2 9 2 5. Come on, David.
Like Yerk said, he works out to Neil Diamond.
Yes, but he's been concussed many times.
And I like to play the best of the 80s. Hey, Siri, play best of the 80s.
Now you've done it.
Bam.
Now you've got everybody off of ESPN 1000. You see that? You've done it.
Where did it come from?
Right
how
back,
did that seep into your head?
Right
it
back
was
to the toilet.
It was, I don't know. I heard the song somewhere.
Where did you hear it? Where is it being played?
I don't know.
The workout.
I get it. It's 40 years old.
Is that the lady telling you? Is that the music you're working out to? On your Peloton? Is that the Peloton lady saying 9 to 5?
Might have been.
Kendall, there you go. That's probably it.
Kendall Toole. Yeah.
Come on.
She's so hot.
Oh, stop. It's a workout, dude.
Okay,
I'd rather work
out with her than some dude that's running a class.
Oh, stop
Sorry.
It. Step up your game. Work out to Alex Toussaint's. Come on.
Yeah, I'll stick with Kendall Toole. Thanks.
Wow.
Emma Lovewell is a backup.
You can't.
Leanne Hainsby.
Wow. How about that? You got your list there together.
Oh, yeah.
Rather work out with them than some dude, huh?
Yes.
That's spoken like a former coach. So now we move on to talk about Kyle Trask.
All right.
That's spoken like a true coach. 2-5. What a way to make a living. I got to take a piss. What? You were saying about Kyle Trask.
Yes.
How about that, Danny? He's had enough.
Oh, you want me to bail him out? What about that, Danny? I'm here, Jonathan. So, Todd McShay issued his mock draft yesterday. Mm-hmm. This mock draft went not one but two rounds. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, guys, in the second round,
he's still flipping.
Your Chicago Bears drafting Kyle Trask, the quarterback from Florida,
yes,
number 52 overall. Here's what he writes. The Bears dip into the quarterback pool on day two. Trask, who has great touch and anticipation on his passes, despite some shortcomings with arm strength, he could learn behind Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. Now, this is the part that made me pissed off. And be given a chance to develop into a potential down-the-road starter. Your second-round pick,
right,
you're going to get a potential starter.
Well, you expect him to start day one?
No, I'm expecting if he's not going to be a starter. The word potential pisses me off. He's down the road going to be a potential starter. With so many holes on this Bears team, in the second round, you sure as hell better draft someone that's going to be a starter.
See,
at a position of need.
And by the way, just like in class, Danny, as you presented this to us for a second, I already was on the page, on page 52.
Thank you.
And Cap's still flipping through.
No,
because
I
take that.
Yeah, because I actually had a long conversation with Alex Brown about him as a Florida grad.
I don't care about Alex Brown.
Biased conversation.
He's not as big on Kyle Trask, even though that's his alma mater.
Well, then let's hit the eject button immediately, because if Alex Brown isn't backing Kyle Trask,
he likes somebody, he's like, I don't.
Yeah, that's not a second-round pick.
But he loves who the first-round pick that's projected. Did you see who that one is?
Trevor Lawrence?
No, the first-round Bears pick,
no,
the 20.
No.
Flip through your pages.
No, I got 52.
Sparky.
No, it was a Kyle Trask topic, so right. I didn't go to 20.
I like the first-round pick he projects, Kadarius Toney, the wide receiver out of Florida.
That's not what the Bears need. But since we're...
Excuse me?
They don't need a wide receiver right now.
They're going to get rid of Anthony Miller. They need a receiver.
So your O-line's tight and you're good on the corner? You're good with your secondary?
If he's the best player on the board, I need a receiver. I got Allen Robinson for one more year.
No.
They franchised Allen Robinson.
No.
Matt Nagy told us how Mooney is the next Tyreek Hill. Wide receiver is not a position of need.
It's a luxury.
Cap, you need milk. Why'd you get the Gatorade?
Because it was on sale.
No, but you can't put Gatorade in your cereal. Get the milk that I asked you to get. The need, not what's on sale and what's available.
Hold on.
Best available is the Gatorade, right? But you need milk badly, right?
We have an offense devoid of playmakers.
What do you mean?
If that guy's a playmaker, this is assuming he's a great player. If Kadarius Toney is on the board at 20 and turns out to be a stud at wide receiver, like, whoa, we got him, Mooney, maybe Allen Robinson, maybe not Allen Robinson. All in. I need playmakers.
So you can't win with Robinson, Mooney, and Komet?
No, that's not enough.
You got Montgomery.
You can't win with Montgomery and Tariq Cohen coming back. Can't win with those guys.
You added
Damian Williams. Yeah, because of the quarterback play in the awful offensive line.
Damian Williams, a backup running back on a one-year deal. Like him. Glad we got a second guy.
Okay, yeah. Wait. Backup running back on a one-year deal. Who, if Patrick Mahomes wasn't playing in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, would have been the MVP. Probably should have statistically been the MVP of the Super Bowl. Damian Williams knows Matt Nagy's offense. He's going to be a productive second running back.
I don't disagree with you.
Mindy told you to get prime rib. Why'd you get lemon pledge? Well, because it was on sale. It was best available. No, I told you to get prime rib for dinner, not lemon pledge. Why'd you get the lemon pledge? You can't eat that. Why would you do that? That's exactly what we're talking about. It's the same conversation. I need to have guys that can be able to solidify the secondary, right? Because Fuller's gone. You just can't just go out there one-legged in the secondary at the corner position. You got a kid out there, right? Tell me I'm wrong. Who's going to fill the bill for Kyle Fuller? Vildor, if that's really his name, that guy? We have no idea whether or not he could play or not. Don't you want to solidify that position in the draft? Don't you want to solidify your offensive line in the draft?
Only if that's the best player on the board.
I need to fill holes, though. Where am I going to fill those holes if I don't fill it in the draft?
When you put your board together, Jonathan Hood's up there, and he's the guy in charge. And he goes, Jeff Miller's the number one guy on our board. And he happens to play a position where I got two all pros. And all of a sudden, I'm picking ninth, and the number one guy's still there. If you trust your scouting, your eyes, and your board, you take the guy who's the highest rated guy on your board.
Your philosophy is the reason why Matt Millen's out of football. I'll take a wide receiver. No, I'll take a wide receiver. No, I'll take a wide receiver. Year after year. This is why Matt Millen's not in football, because of your philosophy.
No,
that doesn't work.
Most NFL executives tell you, if you trust your process and your board, you take the best guy that's there, period.
I got to fill my holes.
No. I agree with Hoodie.
That's nonsense.
That is stupid. That's an argument created by NFL GMs. The truth is, nobody knows who the, quote, best player is until 5 years after they're in the NFL. There's development that takes place when you draft a guy. If your coaching staff's good, there's a lot of good quality players at a lot of good positions. You may know, like, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, certain players, Kyle Pitts. You can see that their talent, they're clearly the best player on the board. After, like, the top 5 to 10, there's lots of good players at lots of positions and Hoodie's right. Cornerback? Really? Really? You're going to go with Jalen Johnson and then just cross your fingers and hope you have the position filled?
Why can't I get a guy in the second round?
Because you're selecting Kyle Trask.
You guys selected Kyle Trask.
No. We don't want Kyle Trask.
To answer your question, Cap, the reason why that Trask is not a guy that we hear a lot about is because there's this big gap, right? There's Lawrence by himself, I think. I think he's tier one by himself. Mm-hmm. There's Fields, and then there's the others. Like, Mond is on his way up, right?
Yep.
And Trask will be on his way up, too. So that's no shade at Trask. He could be a decent quarterback for you.
Right.
I just know I would not take him with my second-round pick if
Correct.
I were Bears.
All right. We've got Shot, No Shot, and we will get to some more of your calls. All coming up next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. That's why I see him in the shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see him in
the shot. No shot. Brought to you by PointsBet. PointsBet Sportsbook is here. Visit them at Hawthorne Racecourse. Experience Illinois' premium sportsbook. But first, download the PointsBet app. Get $100 in free bets when you deposit just $20 with the code ESPN.
You cut the heat on yesterday?
I cut it on last night.
You cut it on?
Yeah.
Good. Cut the heat on, man. It was cold yesterday.
It was cold.
Cut the heat on.
By the way, caller 10 today. The sole arbiter of said contest is one Daniel Zetterman.
Yes.
With his mullet. And
Not a mullet.
My God, your hair, I would kill for that
hair. But do you know what a mullet's short up front, like Meller's kind of hair, and uh-huh. long in the back, like mine.
Okay, you have hockey
hair. My hair's long everywhere.
You got hockey hair.
No mullet to this.
Hockey hair. Hockey. It's great. It's glorious. I'm just telling you. It's awesome.
Well, it's a party all over his hair. It's not party in the business of the front, party in the back. It's party everywhere.
Thank you, Jonathan.
It's awesome. The back is just something that's what I used to have. Kill for that. Anyway, caller 10 right now, 312-332-3776, and you win $100 in on-site Hawthorne Racecourse wagers. You could try and make some real cash. You get $100 in PointsBet Sportsbook wagers. They're going to give you 4 racing programs and 4 branded gift items as well. Cool package. Danny.
Gentlemen, opening day was yesterday. My Cubs took it. David Ross, Cubs manager's opening day message to his team was, quote, everybody is on their own journey this season. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, that is the complete wrong message to send to a team that needs to come together.
Yeah, I would say shot to that. Why? That's an odd quote for a team that's kind of just not going in the right direction the last 4 years. Not on your own journey. We're a team.
Correct.
We're together. We need to be on this journey together, back to a championship.
Now,
it's not Rizzo here, Bryant here, Baez there.
Now, yesterday we had Ryan Dempster on. He was very entertaining, and he said that Sparky Anderson, you and he were talking about Sparky, yeah. where he said, give me 25 guys on one-year deals or close to it, and I'll give you a world champ because they're all playing to get paid. But I don't like that quote from David Ross. They're all on different journeys. No.
What does that mean?
From now till October, your journey is the good ship lollipop cubby blue. Come together, and then you can figure out your lives after it.
Yeah. It's not an individual. It's a team, Danny.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Madden wouldn't have said that.
He went on to basically say there are guys in here that are young that are trying to prove themselves. There are guys in here that are role players with other teams that are trying to establish themselves here. And then there are guys on the back end of their contracts trying to earn new ones. So that's what he meant, everybody's on their own journey. That should have nothing to do with winning baseball games.
No.
When you come in this clubhouse to steal it from the Blackhawks, there's one goal. Let's win a game.
That's right.
Yeah, I would rather he had said, we got a bunch of guys all on their own journeys in their life, but we have to all come together as Chicago Cubs players. I didn't hear it that way. I didn't like that.
Joe Maddon would have never said that. Guys, Bulls, they're on a slide. They're
struggling
right now.
No, he would have let them show up at 115. Go ahead.
And the hitting is the exact same, so what does it matter?
He would have hit up at 115. He would have won 6-1. How about that?
Yeah, take that.
Is it that true?
Probably not.
In the summer, are you? What? The 1 o'clock, they'd come in at 1 o'clock for a 120 game. They hit the hell out of the ball and go back to the bars.
Exactly.
That's outstanding.
All right, gentlemen, the Bulls struggling. They're on a little bit of a slide. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, it's time for the Bulls to aim for the draft lottery.
Shot. I've been screaming that all year. We got C-Red Fred and C-Red Fred Nation out there. Love them dearly. All these people out there, we got to get to the playoffs. We got to have the experience of what? Having the Bucks fillet you in round one? No. Get in the draft lottery one more time. Maybe you get lucky and get another good player.
Well, I don't want them to be in the lottery, but they're headed that way anyway.
Right.
It just seems like this whole change, even with the changes, it's going to take time for this team to mesh.
Yes.
I want to say this right now, too, Danny. Put this in your daytimer. When we get to NBA free agency.
What?
Daytimer. Where you can put in your information, you know, ahead of time in June and July. Yeah. It's one on your phone. Okay. You might be calling it something different, but it's still a daytimer.
A planner.
I call it a Chandler's. Remember back in the day when you were in Chandler's.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah.
So put that in your little schedule.
Okay.
Put that in there that when we get to NBA free agency. The Bulls won't be there. They already made their summer move. They traded for Vucevic.
Oh, they will be there.
There's nothing else. What are you going to do?
They're going to be one of the final two on Lonzo Ball. They are going to look at other point guards, and the Phoenix Suns are my example. Exhibit A, may I approach?
Yes.
Exhibit A, I show you a 36-year-old Chris Paul. I show you a very moribund, average Phoenix team, well coached by Monty Williams. I show you 36-year-old Chris Paul. I show you the number two seed in the West.
Oh, no, it's great. I just don't know, outside of marketing, what do they have to deal?
They're still going to have cap space. They're going to be able to make a move for someone around 20 to 22 million.
Couple things here. First of all, if you're aiming for the lottery, you only have a 7% chance of landing in the top four. You know, the trade for Vooch, if it's not a top four pick, it's out.
Correct.
So
I want to take a shot.
A 7% chance? I mean,
they might fall that away anyway. Yeah, they play. So
that's the truth of it. But like, you can't aim for the lottery for a 7% chance. They have, right? Aren't they
have 0% chance of winning the title.
Well,
or
just
advancing.
Well, just put it this way: the Bulls, because of LaVine and Vucevic, they won't play so horribly that they'll have a great opportunity to get a top draft pick. At least I don't think so. The shooting will keep their head above water to make him just below average, and that's going to knock him out of a top four spot, I would think.
Maybe.
But the lottery ball, you never know.
You never know. So. That's why I'd rather take the chance. 7% is better than 0% for me.
They're too good to tank, but, you know, the way they're playing, you never know, Danny.
Newsman Danny.
All right, gentlemen, you guys, speaking of newsmen, do you guys know who Greg Kelly is? Newsman Greg Kelly? It doesn't really matter if you know him or not. He's from Fox and Friends. He was the White House correspondent for Fox News.
I know who he is.
Well, he tweeted out the other day, quote, smoking weed, a.k.a. grass, that's what you used to call it, Cap, smoking weed, a.k.a. grass, is not a good idea. I've tried it, and it was worse than anything that happened to Hunter Biden. I toked up with some buddies in Kentucky and woke up 4 days later in Kenya with no idea what happened. Don't do drugs. Now, this is more of a question for Cap, Hoodie, because you've said many times you don't smoke pot. Shot or no shot, you've ever been so high you don't remember what happened for the last 4 days?
Never. Never, ever, 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 ever. It's like having a couple of drinks, two little hits, and you don't have a hangover the next day. That's it.
I'd like to segue into, give us the highest story you've ever been.
The highest story I've ever... Okay.
During the show, right? While we've been together?
Never.
It's right up there in the air. It's
never.
The top five, at least, right?
Never.
You come in here bake sometimes.
Never. Well, think it over and tell us on the other end.
All right. You got it.
Okay. There's some days here you've come in.
Never.
Just absolutely just...
That has never happened. 100%.
But you've been a step slow from how high you got the night before.
No, you guys think I get high all the time. I don't. That's a rarity. You can ask my wife.
But you do get high the second most on this show.
For sure.
For 100% for sure.
You're right there with me, Danny.
Huh?
You're right there with me.
My piss is as clean as Jonathan Hood's and Jeff Meller's right now. I probably haven't been high in 9 months.
We pee in the same trough.
Sad for you.
So we can't. So.
What a way to make a living. I'm going to get high when I get home. No bulls, no cubs. Take that. How about that, Sparky? How about that, Sparky?
We'll be right back.
Hey, Sparky.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Rolling on the Cap Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 with Hoodie, Meller, Zetterman, Strauss. We're here every weekday morning at 7. And please download our podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. You can hear the show, take it with you. Bite-sized bits are sometimes on there. You can get the Carmen and Yurko Show, the Waddle Sylvie Show, the Black Abdallah Show, the Armchair Nutritionist Show. You can get all of our stuff, the Under the Hood podcast. It's all there, and you can listen live to our station in crystal clear audio. 312-332-3776. You asked me for a story, Danny?
Well, we were discussing in shot or no shot. This newsman said he was so high that he missed 4 days of his life, ended up going from Kentucky to Kenya.
Yeah, he's
didn't
an idiot.
Realize it. So we were wondering, as one of the Scottie Pippen of smoking weed on this show, obviously JR's the Michael Jordan, give us your highest story.
We went to see a show called Laser Floyd. It was Pink Floyd. You got a little Pink Floyd there, Meller?
I think it's private, but go ahead.
We were at a Laser Floyd show in Minnesota, and I was a novice at doing that.
Doing what?
Getting high.
Oh, I see.
And we went to this big auditorium, and they had these laser lights with Pink Floyd cranked up as loud as it went. There must have been 2,000 people in there. It was a bizarre but incredible night. Wow. And then we actually went out by the airport and watched planes land. Yes, true story. True story. There was this bar where you could sit down on a deck and watch planes land 400 yards away from you. Jets at Minneapolis St. Paul Airport. Yes, it was unusually odd for a guy who had never done that. So, yeah, that's probably the number one experience.
Did you eat anything? Munchies? You do anything stupid? You say anything that we're going to laugh at?
Pizza Papa. Yes. The greasiest pizza you could ever get. And we would take a roll of paper towel and blot all the grease off and then just go to town, man. Double cheese. Double cheese, pepperoni and sausage, Pizza Papa on Snelling Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota. Yes. Or we would go to the Flame Burger. Yeah.
The Flame Burger. I see.
That was one of those 24-hour, like, greasy spoon places.
Sure.
That had a bunch of outlets,
yeah,
franchises. Or we would go to the WC Lounge, which was White Castle.
Ah, I see.
Yes.
What you crave.
What you crave.
I understand.
I'll take three double cheese and a
double turkey burger. They had like a deep fried turkey sandwich.
So number two would be working with me. There had to be some random October, November where you just got completely just wasted.
Never. I've never done that. I've never done a show like that.
No.
But I'm not a huge drinker. I've always been a lightweight drinking.
Yes.
Like you could put the booze down.
Yep.
I've never really been hung over. Like, oh my God, how am I going to get up? I can't. The booze thing, I just can't do. I'm just not good at it.
So there you have it, Danny. You asked and answered. There you have it.
Didn't end up in Kenya.
No.
That guy's an idiot.
Oh, clearly he's an idiot.
He obviously was taking, like, meth. Nobody gets high and ends up in Kenya 4 days later.
Not from weed, no.
No shot.
No.
No chance. Danny, a couple puffs and you feel good, you're relaxed, whatever. You watch TV, you're kind of chill. It's great. Danny bought me that relaxed stuff for Christmas.
Well, Danny and I...
All you do is chill.
This summer, Danny and I are going to spend time in his yard. He's going to give me that, give me that feeling of just being relaxed and really not talking.
Right.
We're just going to just be able to stare at each other.
I got a couple lounge chairs. We're going to sit out, some cold drinks, and enjoy the stars.
Yes.
Yurko. Nobody loves Pink Floyd more than Yurko. Text in. He loves hearing you talk Pink Floyd. He wants to know what your favorite Pink Floyd song is.
Money. Probably.
Is that the only one you can name?
I'm not great at naming songs, but the album that I loved or the CD with the jewel case was the one that had the prism with the multicolored, like,
Dark Side of the Moon.
You
match that up, remember, with Wizard of Oz, and takes you on a good trip.
Yes.
You should do that tonight.
What?
After the Sox game, get stoned to the bejesus,
put
on Dark Side of the Moon and Wizard of Oz, and live Instagram yourself watching it.
So wait a minute. I watched the movie.
So here's what you do. You mute the movie. There's the lion. It's MGM Films. When the lion roars for the third time, you start Dark Side of the Moon.
You mean the little dude dressed as the lion?
No, I mean the lion, the MGM lion that roars before the movie starts. The MGM lion.
Yeah.
You've seen it a million times.
Yes.
The third roar, you start Dark Side of the Moon, and it syncs up magnificently. That's what you're doing tonight. That's what you're doing. On Instagram Live, stoned to the bejesus.
Is anybody in there? Just not if you can hear me. Is there anyone home? Take that.